Warning, the following is the officially sanctioned podcast
about the show, about four lifelong friends
who compete to embarrass each other in public.
You know the one.
The official Impractical Jokers podcast.
Yeah! Season 8.
That's right.
It's over.
So all hail season 8.
We have John Zaluga and Cole. I forgot your last name.
Cole
Weber. I always, you know.
That was terrible.
Because I always think Cole von Cole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw you do it.
That's my other name. Like,
and Cole von, Cole Weber.
I go by either. That works.
Cole, you know, I only forget your name because I love you. I always forget the people I love.
Yeah, says it to his wife all the time.
Yeah. Perfect. She didn't take my last name, so.
I don't know. Air it out.
So it's tricky.
Air it out. So it's going to be a lot of chanting from me, James McCarthy.
Me, Casey Kleinman, my wife's last name.
I don't know how much chanting I'm going to do, but Tina Santamaro.
And Cole Weber.
Hey!
AKA Cole von Cole.
How about this, Cole Weber? We also have John Zaluga here, so why don't you spell Zaluga?
Ooh.
Oh. Can you?
Is it S-Z?
Damn it, he's got it.
You got the hardest part. But then people mess it up after that.
Oh, let's see.
Is it E-L and then Luga, like... L-U-G-A.
Oh, yeah. You said, you know, he just said two L's. He technically said two L's. You go to prison.
Go to prison, Cole.
Straight
Stay
to prison.
Stay there until the beginning of season 9. I think a lot of sentences will go out that way in the courts. Like, you'll get released at the beginning of Joker season 9.
Yes.
We're pushing for that. We have a big criminal base.
This is great. We just finished season 8.
This is great.
It's a season 8 finale party.
It's clearly the last day of school in here right now.
Yeah. I think it is. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So this is one of our favorite bits. This first one.
Greatest bit of all time, in my opinion.
Our favorite. It literally is. Because we like coming up with TV shows, and most of the time they're bad. And then now that's our job.
We do. There's only been one good TV show idea. And it's been Impractical Jokers,
yes.
And the rest are just garbage ideas that we get to pitch with the guys on the show.
Yes.
Such as Eat My Nuts, which,
yep.
Which is a great one from Sal.
This show answers the question, what if we sent a bully from the 1990s to the Salem witch trials of the 1690s? Will the bully continue his bullying ways? Or have a change of heart and save a good witch or two? Which, please...
Writing the log lines, I think the guys find so much joy in it. And then I have so much fun afterwards just thinking about working on what freaky every day would be like, who would be in it.
Yes.
What that show would be like. And I'm kind of like, I think some of these can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always feel that way after these. Same way with the fake movie tickets and things like that when we do that stuff, like fake show tickets. Because after the fact, I'm always like, maybe I should just sit down and do this as an exercise for actual shows.
100%. Yeah, you see a show like Sharknado come out.
Exactly.
And yes. I feel like we should have done that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. So I love Freaky Friday kind of formats.
You do.
I've talked about this many times. I've had a lot of ideas.
We had to stop you from talking about it because you do it every day.
But finally we got one in.
Yes.
But this one's fun because it's the concept is so disgusting.
It is very funny.
It just plays out a thing that happens, which is a Freaky Friday. But then it's what happens in the, who's banging the mom?
That was my favorite line from this entire challenge was Joe just being so who's banging the mom?
Actually, you know what my favorite one may have been? Joe just naming all the grandmas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I knew that either. Did that come from your mind, James?
No.
Oh, because that seems like something that you would...
I think I pitched Abuela Wong.
That was a good name.
my contribution.
Yeah,
that was
from Imbergio, and I remember that was Joe. on set coming up with the different names.
Definitely.
With the guys,
That was a Imbergio and Sal, because it was just one of those things where the two of them just coming up with all these random grandma names and stuff, and then they came in. I was walking by or whatever, and heard them laughing, and I was what about Abuela Wong?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my very minor contribution to the bit.
I appreciated that one of the last names was Buttafuoco.
Yeah.
That was pretty,
I know.
It's probably Sal.
In the middle of when he was saying the names, I like got confused and then became unconfused. It was so weird because they all like bled together in this way that it almost felt like he was speaking another language and it was like related to Italian. Maybe it was Maltese.
It felt like Maltese.
Maltese.
Five Italian grandmothers secretly live in one lucky boy's closet and work together to turn him into a man. Hope Dominic's first kiss goes well with the help of Grammy Mima Shingatz. Nona Buca di Beppo, Grammy Buttafuoco, Nana Marie Demona Damar, and Abuela Wong.
this game is so much fun to like. It's one of those games almost like Cranjus where like I'm trying to come up with these ideas all season long. Like I don't even know if we'll do it, but you're just trying to think of like weird pitches.
Well, and the other thing is, again, it's just such a joyful game. This was almost the first time we played it. The guys considered making it a don't laugh challenge,
right?
Because they were dying reading some of these names. Yeah. Like I remember I was chilling with Mr. Broadway, just killed Q the first time we played it.
Yep.
And that was like, should we do Don't Laugh? And they're like, no, let's just stick to the vote because we're all just laughing too much anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun to see how, on my end of things, how invested the people are. You know, it's just enough reality where the people are thinking this is a real idea.
Right.
But then I think the one girl, when they were going through all the names, she started laughing because it is like so absurd and so silly. But the people are really thinking this is like an actual TV show that might be made.
That's great point.
They were quick. I felt like it was a little different this time where people were quick to the guys would just give the basic, you know, the title of the show and the log line. And normally they try to like sell it and people were real quick to just go, no. And this one, like, it was really funny how quick they were just like, no. And then the guys are like trying to work their way back from that.
And there's another different thing we did this time, a few times that Gatto did it when he says the title afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is really funny.
It plays differently. I like it a lot.
That time where he's setting up the whole like cocaine dealing in like Wimbledon or whatever, and then he ends it with game, set, crack.
Mm-hmm.
Just really funny.
It is so funny. And it feels like a thing that that person would do. You know what I mean? Like in a pitch meeting where you're like, this is what it is. And this is what it is. Title, game, set, crack. It's like, and that's such a good perspective, Cole, that like, thank you for bringing, because like, I don't always think about that. But it's so important because those people are invested. It's similar with like the products because they're like, I would never use this product. This is people want. I can't wait to give my opinion on a product. And when the product is like shit, then it's like, all right, great. I'm going to let him know that because I don't want to see this product on shelves.
So Tina, you work in television.
I do.
Which one of these TV shows do you think has the best chance to make it? Which one can you promise us we'll be on True TV next season?
Yeah.
Probably The Mouth of Babes.
The Mouths of Babes.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow. You know, people like shocking.
They do.
So
that sounds like, right.
So let's mess up somebody's mouth.
Kate Upton.
And Murr is such a good, Murr really pitches. Murr, that's why. He's a good pitch man.
Yeah.
So he sold it. Other three guys should step up their game if they really want. A real TV exec. To buy their show.
Yeah.
I think Eat My Nuts. Eat My Nuts, which please. I think that's definitely, I could see that on True TV.
This next one, a little child support. We got Salvatore Volcano's nieces coming to help us out in the park, pretending to be the children of the Jokers. A position that only two people have done in real life.
Yeah.
So far,
yeah.
Milana and Remo Gatto. Mm-hmm. These two girls were brave enough to pretend to be the children of Jokers. What did you think of this one, Cole?
First, I thought they were great, especially Mia. I mean, taking direction via an earpiece from the guys and being able to deliver it and kind of have the wherewithal to like understand what she was saying to this stranger. She delivered the lines really, really well.
Did you have to produce them? Did you have to get them?
I did not. That was kind of arranged through Sal. We did have a child actress there that day in case things went awry. But we ended up not needing her.
Did she get paid?
She did get paid. Hell, and she's actually great. She was the girl who was, I think the house
sitter. She's the poltergeist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that girl's great too.
The Exorcist. Which one is it?
Exorcist.
Exorcist.
Yeah. Yes. The girl who plays the possessed child.
Poltergeist.
Yeah. So
and she's great.
Yeah.
I will bring her back. But yeah, she actually ended up getting a free day where she just got paid to do nothing.
I bet you she'd rather do the art.
Yeah.
I think so too.
I would take the art, no money. over just money. No, I'm kidding. I would take the money. I love money. Money rules.
Yeah. But no, season five, you did that. You worked for free. It was for the art.
Jeff, season five. Yeah. And that's why it was atrocious. Thanks, folks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Watch the movie. Watch the movie. Callback.
My first season.
That's why. That's the inside
That's
joke.
It.
Yeah. So that, I love this.
I love that you go to a job interview dressed like that. It's just so classic. And I mean, good energy from this guy on the bench.
I like seeing the guys with wives, with kids, with, you know what I mean? A girlfriend.
You know what's great about kids, like with this bit too, is like there's other things where you have to like agree with somebody who's saying something that's, you know, but when it's your kid, and especially the stuff that these kids say, it's like you put it in her head in the first place.
That's right. Right.
That's what's so, yes.
It's
so
perfect.
It's this whole like, right, because that's the one where it's.
My dad says hip hop was created by white people.
Yes.
Is what she says on the bench.
Joe has a whole, like, I'm an accident. It's true. Like, it's just.
Yeah.
But it's like, even without a, it's just you have like responsibility in a way. And like what they're like, I love that, that it's like sort of coming from the guy before he even speaks.
Right. And right. So now you're kind of like, the mark is like looking at the Joker, like, what did you teach your child? Mm-hmm. And then that's why I love the way Q just couldn't even go through with it. He's like, nope, not our dad, didn't say it, let's go.
Yeah.
Really fantastic turn.
Oh, I'm not her father. No, I'm not her father. You know what, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm gonna correct that. Yeah.
And then we got Murr into Murr punishment. I you know, it doesn't always happen, but I like when there's a like the loss happens into the into the punishment. It's nice.
I'll take it any way I can get it, but this is one of my favorite.
So
love when that happens.
It's a weird way to finish the season, and in a way that I think is a fun risk.
Yeah,
you know.
And you heard the guy say it. Sal said it. This was 2 years in the making, which is true. And on a personal note, I am so friggin' happy that we finally filmed this punishment, because they wanted to do it for Murr for 2 years. So first of all, again, just from my day to day, 365 times two is something over 700.
What's happening?
It's like that's the amount of days I have to keep this stupid thing a secret from James Murray, who is constantly going like, what's this card mean? Like a card, like in our writer's room.
What's that mean?
Yeah. And we're like, don't worry about it. He's like, what's that? What's that? What's that? We're like, we just have to keep like keeping these secrets and like lying to our boss.
And this one it's problematic. You've got nudity. You're talking about like shooting in a sauna where we really can't hide cameras, where people are like not expecting it. It's why the guys came up with this whole thing where like everybody in the room is in on it.
Yeah.
You've got like licensing issues with the music. It was just,
it was a lot, but it was worth it.
It was worth it. It just took a long time.
I really loved
it. I'm glad you brought up the licensing issue, because that was an issue. And we couldn't get the licensing. We finally got it. But before we did, I had made two different versions. First was like a full parody version. I made a song called The Magnetic Glide.
Yes.
And I think if I had to have a note with this punishment, it didn't have enough of the song I made. Because it didn't have any of it.
How long ago did you make that? Do you know?
I made that.
It was like 2018?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely 17 or 18. And I'm going to play a little bit of it here, and we'll drop it into the podcast.
Yeah, we'll drop in the good version.
It's magnetic. Get up and dance.
You can't control it. You gotta do it. You rock and roll it.
I didn't even hear this one.
This is making me feel uncomfortable.
It's hard to hear. I never heard that one.
So I don't know.
Nobody's heard that one.
That's like the porn version of the song.
It would have been very different.
That's actually going to... That's going to be the score in some of those movies that we were just talking about earlier. That's in Freaky Every Day. And it plays
You guys heard it through me playing it through my laptop speaker, but everyone...
I don't want to hear it through surround sound.
You've got to hear it. But Joe and I... So then they were like, well, the guys like loved it, but they were like, but that's not the joke. The joke is just the naked men that Murr has to dance next to. So we were like, okay, Joe and I will like literally like track for track re-record with like our new instruments, like a version of the song. And that one is fine. I feel like we did it sounds the exact same, but it's not the exact, I don't know how to describe it.
It's good. It's really good. You guys made a very good remake of The Electric Slide.
All right.
That no one else has heard except me.
Wow.
I think I might have heard this
and
one.
Cole,
this
is, and
I was
John,
thoroughly
yeah,
impressed.
The other producers have heard it.
Well, that's the Magnetic Glide was my real good. That's the one I'm most proud of.
That's the good one.
You were pushing to have me play it at my wedding. I remember that.
Oh my God.
You were like, it needs to, somebody needs to hear this. And we said no.
I can't find the other
one. Well, because no one knows the dance moves to the Magnetic Glide.
Yeah, well, of course.
Magnetic Glide.
But seriously, it was like the guys wanted it. It took forever to license the song.
Yeah.
It just took forever.
I remember.
We, like we said, Tina works in TV. This show, we're small. We're a little ship. And sometimes we're like, how do we get this? How do other TV shows get songs and all of these other accoutrements that we see on other shows. And we're like, how do we do it? And they're like, you have to pay, I think, $1 million an episode. And we're like, no, we're going to use that for Cole Von Cole. We're going to use that to put Joe as a wall. That's where our budget goes. So we don't go to music. No.
But, yeah, but it worked out.
But hold on. I found the other one. Let's see.
Okay.
It's electric.
Great. We don't have the.
Oh, you would have had to pay to use this one, right?
Yeah.
Well, we have to pay less, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
well, you got to pay now.
We'll just play it a little bit.
You have to pay to play it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast
we'll just cut it up in 3-second intervals. I would just like to say that your post team sent me a cut of this. Before the rough cut
That's
came
the editors,
in.
Yeah.
Oh, on Blurred?
Yeah.
Can you forward that to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
It was
I believe,
horrifying.
Everyone in the office had to sign like a,
you had to sign
like
a waiver.
Like a waiver this before it even was viewed. It was, and there's like a password protected like screener and everything. Just
It was a sight. There were a few things that were like slightly blurred, but they basically didn't want to start to get into all of the blurring until they knew how extensively RS&P would say our standards and practices would
they're
say.
They're sliding out of the blurs a bit.
Yeah, so I like opened it not really knowing what was going to happen.
At work.
Yeah, so this is odd because I was... I got there at the end of the day. They had finished shooting, and I had gotten there like after everything. And when I got there, literally everyone's face was like the crew, like Nicole Salamack. They had tears still on their face. Like people's makeup, like women's makeup was ruined from laughing so hard. It was one of these punishments that when I watched it, I was like, I wish we had shots of the crew because people were... like wrecked after watching this, like, and it was I was so sad I wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like I can't believe I'm saying it, but like I really wish I saw all those dicks. I wish I was there checking. I felt like it would have been so fun to watch it. I hope we get to watch like an unedited version. I hope like
I mean
we
get
can
the
leak
password.
It. Should we leak it?
Oh man.
What do you think, Teen?
Yeah,
I mean,
should we leak it?
I don't want you to say like unedited dicks and leak it in the
leakage?
Same sentence.
We got leaky dicks. We need a bunch of leaky dicks.
Throw in the after party.
Yeah,
after party.
Can we do that?
The X-rated after party.
Yeah, please.
Inside dicks.
Inside dicks.
It was by far though. I think I can go ahead and say. Probably the most bizarre day I've ever had in my entire
You were there.
Career.
You got to see them.
Yeah, we had. Yes.
Any notes?
I went home that night and I was trying to forget about it, but it's just.
You're right. I mean, it was really funny to me. Like, my only wish is that Murray kind of tumbled forward a little lower. I felt like the guys, they were very kind to him. He was doing a real...
That wasn't my wish.
It's a punishment, you know? I want to see him bending over, getting in that butt ahead of him, leaning back.
You would have gotten that with the Magnetic Glide. I'm
you
telling
would.
You.
Yeah,
you would have gotten a whole lot of
Magnetic Glide. It really is a glide is a disgusting word.
No, it's terrible.
And a magnetic one, what does that mean? Feels real dry. A real dry glide.
It means it never stops.
Yeah. And the Magnetic Glide is, I think it's like a 20-minute track.
Yeah, why don't we play it again? Yeah, we should play it again.
For the last 20 minutes of the podcast.
I'm not against it. And then, it loops.
And this loops. Punishment ends also with another version of Merz Blanky at the end.
Uh-huh.
So you see that in yes. there.
He has to protect his belongings better. Like,
sure.
It's so easy to get that blankie. We just call up his assistant, and she gets it.
Yeah.
We bring it to set. Easy.
It yeah. rose in the ashes of the yeah, when true. It got it's burnt true. Up at the end of the... What episode was that? It was a flash mob episode, the end of season 4.
Yes, yes. And now he has to burn it again just to sterilize it.
Yeah, so I don't know... What's the story there? Because I know a few yeah. people have been asking about it. I think the original time we did it was like a psych out where they... Because they didn't want to ruin his actual blankie. Because like we said before, the guys, they want to mess with each other, but they don't want to like destroy their friend's actual lives.
Yeah.
So it's like the first time they did it, Murray thought that his blankie was destroyed, but it was a farce. This was like something our art department made, but it was from a distance or whatever. So it just gave the verisimilitude
yeah.
that his blankie was destroyed. This,
well, that episode, they yeah. they reveal that they faked it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Gatto pulls out the real one and then throws that in the fire. So they right. get him twice in that one.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, that's a bang bang.
Yeah.
What we call it. That's called a bang bang. A bang bang. A double header, if you will. This one, that's real blanky.
Real blanky.
That's because it's not getting destroyed. It's just getting wiped.
We also had his real, the day we burned those two,
right.
we had his real one on set.
Yeah.
So that at the end of it, we could be like, no, this is the real one. Because otherwise, he wouldn't trust us. He'd
yeah.
be like, no, you really burned it. So we had that. We didn't show it. But yeah, like that's the idea yeah. sometimes is like to make, sometimes it's just to make the Joker feel like, and get the reaction of them being, feeling like punished. And then also being like, hey, relax, dude, we got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so this is great because that's the real one. And I think actually Melissa gave it to us this time.
Yeah, which is Murr's fiance.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he keeps it under his pillow, right?
Yeah. He's had, also in the, you remember the punishment where is Murr smarter than a, I throw his blankie on the floor.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like that, he just leaves that thing around. He's an idiot. I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
He's also an idiot. Well, actually, if Murr was in on this punishment, he would have gone with the magnetic glide. That guy's got taste.
Yeah.
Really quick, though, since this is the last episode of the season, what was your favorite moment? Really quick, we'll go around. Whoa, favorite moment of season 8.
Really quick. You got to think really quick. Take it all in.
Yeah. Wow.
Not of this. Well, it doesn't have to be a... It can be of this episode. But
well, we're rubber, you're a glue.
On or off
what's
camera,
your answer?
Favorite.
What's your answer, Tina?
We need to figure out who the mark of the season was. Because didn't I say recently someone beat Grandma Deadpool? I know, I don't remember who it was.
Who did, yeah. Because I love...
Grandma Deadpool was crazy number one.
You're bringing up a lot of things we stopped tracking.
Lucy, right?
Oh, who got the most thumbs down this season? We will never know. Until the fans tell us. So please tell us. You like the guy in the
yes.
in the bit with the couch. What was that bit? Psychoanalyst.
Yes. Psychoanalyst. The guy who's in bit. Two bits. Yeah. He's in two bits.
When that's Murr is looking behind the couch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that
guy yes. comes in first nice. Turn. That guy was my mark of the season, baby.
Woo! I'm sticking with Grandma Deadpool. Episode 801, season premiere.
She's incredible.
Lucy. She I'm a big it. Lucy fan.
Lucy?
I love Lucy. That's
Lucy
Grandma
in
Deadpool.
The aisle with Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. I know her as Grandma Deadpool.
I know
Wait, which one was she that?
That was in the
was she the one with the
store.
Milk?
The milk.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in for the milk.
Oh, no. I was going to tie it up and give it to the double mark guy and make you be the deciding vote. But
you love drama.
Oh, well, yeah. You finally don't have power. Yeah. This isn't your day job, Cole.
The network has spoken.
Yeah, that happens all too often.
I don't know. It's tough. I'm not sure what my favorite moment is.
I'm trying to jog my memory.
But my favorite moment is a cheat because it's episode 802 and 803. The second and third episode mm-hmm. of this season, I think, are the two strongest back-to-back episodes we've ever done in the history of Impractical Jokers.
Sorry.
That's the punishments, which are kind of like the way we track the show, mm-hmm. At least internally, is the Murray laptop punishment mm-hmm. and then the Sal tippish.
Oh, you're right.
Those two episodes
and tipping point.
Are my favorite two back-to-back that we've ever had in the show. So it was just really nice to see. So that's my season-wide, my favorite moment.
And you want to break it to a single moment in that tippish punishment? That last mark when he just wants to get away and the door is locked and they're just stuck in there together?
Yep.
That's one of my favorite moments.
That's
maybe that's my favorite season. Mark. I remember coming out from around the corner when he just got out and he was visibly shaking. And he was like, so such a sweet guy. And
yeah.
But marks are like your children. You can't pick a favorite. You have to deal with so many of them. So this must be hard for you to pick your favorite one. You bring them into focus.
I love them all.
Sometimes.
I love them all equally. Yeah.
I would say that my favorite punishment of the season is the tipping one.
Yep.
But I would say that a close second and maybe even a harder punishment is the tram where Q has to stop the...
Great travel pun.
An unbelievable punishment.
When I say travel pun, I mean when we do a travel episode.
Yeah, we get it.
And it's a punishment.
Yeah, we get it, James. End of the season, they get it. They're super fans.
I was saying this for Cole.
Oh, yeah, smart. Sorry. He's dumb.
That was a fun day.
He's dumb. It's the end of the season, we could be mean. Cole's dumb.
Yeah.
My favorite punishment is Sal... falling over when he was getting spun and then had to pour
waiter.
The water.
Dizzy bat, dizzy waiter.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like crying watching that episode.
I'm going to say another, maybe actually I might change this to my favorite moment is the zinc. Laughed so hard when I first watched, I guess I've only watched it like once or twice, but the guy he puts zinc on and he talks about the show and he doesn't believe that anyone's there. What a beautiful moment of like, he, you know what I mean? Like the guy, it's such a fun, weird step outside of the show. It's like not embarrassing for Joe. It's just funny. I love it. That's a huge moment. For me.
Well, speaking of Joe Gatto, I texted him about what his favorite punishment was for season 8.
I think I know what this is.
Studio season 8?
No, I know. It was the head fake punishment is what we call it in here. That's when Sal's in Union Square and doesn't know what his punishment's going to be.
Oh, yeah, the one you guys cut me out of.
Huh?
Ooh. Yeah, that's wow. Gatto said that's why.
Oh. Well, how's a network like that? The producers strike back. I'm sure you're great in it.
She has the power.
It wasn't you. It's too funny. You can't outshine the guys, Tina.
I know.
That's what it was.
I'll play it down next time.
So according to Joe Gatto, that's his favorite punishment in season 8, messing with Sal in Union Square.
And for season 8, thank you guys so much for listening. We will have more episodes in season 9, both of the show and the podcast. So thank you guys so much for listening. On behalf of the official Impractical Jokers podcast, I'm Casey Jost.
I'm John Saluga.
I'm Cole.
Yes, we both did it.
I'm James McCarthy.
I'm Tina Santamaro.
Saying what we always say, everybody at once.
Freaky every day.
You have to do well.
Right.